Shalom, Havarin, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan Crawford with my wife and devoted Bible teacher, Sheila, who will be teaching in a minute. But first, let's open tonight's program with prayer. Abba, we thank for your son, Yeshua. Sadly, as we watch the spiritual decline of America and all over the world, we ask in behalf of all the true believers who are called by your name, that you watch over us, keeping our stresses light, while gifting us with dunamis power to fight our enemy. An extra burst of your Holy Spirit, so to be bolder at our evangelizing. We highly praise you and thank you for the many answered prayers as we lift up those particular requests given to us this month for physical healings and the many salvations of our loved ones. Lord, caress and pull at the hearts of the backsliders as we continue to pray for the numerous Christians who are being persecuted around the world. Now be with us as we study your word, and bless with abundance the listeners tonight. May they have ears to hear what you are saying to the church. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you, dear. Well, many areas of concern dominate the thoughts of those who know what's really going on as we turtle up to the world domination of the elite. Our president's new trade bill, called the TPP, will not only reform our trade laws, but also affect our immigration, the environment, labor, and of course, commerce. And our Congress let it happen. So much for both houses having a Republican majority. But I know, and I hope you do too by now, that the elite owns Congress, or at least enough of them. Then add the Jade Helm exercises getting ready to kick into gear in 10 U.S. states, while at the same time China is amassing thousands of its military on the South China Sea. But there's the kicker. The United States, with Australia, is joining them with 33,000 military, as well as USS ships, submarines, and aircraft. But it isn't limited to just the Pacific region. Also, Pearl Harbor, Guam, and locations within the United States will also host maneuvers, these practice sessions, like San Diego, Virginia, and multiple locations within Australia. And by the way, it has a name. The operation is called Talisman Saber. So check that out. So have you heard anything but about this, though, in our media? Just do your own web search. It's also on YouTube as well. Then there is the Greek situation that economists do say could trickle down to the U.S. stock market. So don't even look at your 401k plan for a good while. Also, there is a large battle going on in the Sinai between Egypt and ISIS. Hunting both sides and heating up even more. But Israel, who was fired upon by 3 Grad missiles over the weekend, is now ready. They're going to go in with special on-the-ground forces, both overtly and covertly, to help Egypt and ultimately to keep ISIS out of Israel, whose known intentions of ISIS is to siege Israel from the south and also the north simultaneously. I think I smell Psalm 83 getting ready to be fulfilled. And as expected, here in America, we are already seeing the slippery slope of the consequences of the Supreme Court's sodomy decision unfolding right before our eyes. The next step in their agenda to destroy the family unit. And that's really what it's all about all along. Polygamous and incestuous unions are applying for marriage licenses too. All this adds fuel to the radical left's progressive agenda. Anyhow, tonight's program is on Who is Babylon? And it fits pretty nicely with sodomy. And it's just one of the many tentacles associated with this harlot woman called Mystery Babylon, who rides the beast. So who is she? Really? We all are familiar with the destruction of the ancient city called Sodom and its neighbor Gomorrah in Genesis 10. But did you know God considers and actually names another city also very familiar to us in his book of the Revelation? So, as my husband gives you our contact information, you will want to open your Bible to this very famous book that, by the way, let me remind you, contains a special blessing for all who read it. Chapter 1, verse 3.
Whew. Wow, lots happening. Sure am glad we have Jesus.
Amen.
You can send your email to Sheila@shofarministries.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Please keep the questions to eschatology. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are always needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for future newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching letters are archived for your added learning. Remember, the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly meets for worship with a timely Bible study. And the third Friday of the month, Kent conducts a video night to complement end time teachings. So make an effort to join us at Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road, Chesterland, Ohio, at 7 p.m.
Thank you, dear. You just do that so well.
Thank you.
All right, let's get into tonight's study. Who is Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18? You must know that because of time, I'm going to give you my final analysis and then some scriptures for you to write down and look up yourself. But first I will read you the scripture in Revelation 11:8, where it references the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, that are killed. And it says, "And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." Now that's pretty clear. We know Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. So, the great city in the book of Revelation is Jerusalem. Remember, scripture interprets scripture. God purposely arranged it that way so we would have to study to connect the dots. When we study, we grow in Him. And there's no other way to increase our faith, Romans 10:17. So do you find it shocking that Jerusalem is called Sodom and Egypt? Well, you shouldn't. After all, Tel Aviv is sister city to Jerusalem and the gay capital of the world, conducting yearly gay pride parades, and so does Jerusalem. And in fact, it's this month on July 30th. I pray for a thunderstorm in Israel that day, like we had in Cleveland last month, and that gay parade had to be canceled. Okay, so why is it spiritually called Egypt? Well, it has down through the years, and it's detailed in the Old Testament, worship the pagan gods that they brought from Egypt, as in Osiris, Horus, and even Isis is one of them. And today, the symbols are the same. And it's actually seen on the American dollar of the eye on top of the pyramid. Anyhow, we need to stay on subject. Who is Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18? Babylon is a code name for this great city. Again, when an idiom or phrase is used to describe something, some place, or some person, it stays the same. So, if a great city is used in Revelation 11, for Jerusalem, which we just proved, then it stays Jerusalem throughout the end of the letter that John was told to write, given to him from Jesus. So even at the conclusion of his letter of Revelation, when Jerusalem is restored, it keeps the same idiom called the great city. I'll read to you Revelation 21:10. That's Revelation 21:10. John says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Eventually, it will be holy. Okay, seems pretty obvious, right? So why are so many Christians saying the code name for Babylon is the United States? Now, I can see saying it's Rome for obvious Babylonian pagan reasons, which actually I did for a while because I didn't connect the dots carefully enough. But lately, due to more recent developments, I now know that Rome is about to move the Vatican headquarters to Jerusalem. That's right. After all, we know Babylonialism, aka paganism, was moved before and more than once. The first time was when the Medes and Persians conquered Babylon and essentially kicked out all the pagans with their many false gods for their own religion called Zoroastrianism, which is monotheistic or just one god. Still false. And it was called Ahura Mazda. Just think of the car. Anyhow, Babylon's religion of paganism moved to Pergamum, which is why Revelation 2:13, Jesus says it's the throne of Satan. It was there because it moved, because they were kicked out by the Medes and Persians, okay? Now, Babylonialism originated with Nimrod, who worshipped the sun god Moloch. Now, scripture says he became a great hunter or a gibor. That's number 1368 in the Hebrew, in the Strong's, meaning he made a conscious connection with demonic entities to make himself a giant. That's what gibor means. And then according to extra-biblical writings, he literally hunted human beings to murder them as sacrifices to his pagan god. Nimrod also received instruction from the demonic priests of Moloch to marry his own mother, Semiramis, in an act of incest in order for, the demons told him, to acquire a third eye, or what we call today the all-seeing eye. In other words, for higher knowledge, offered still today by demons. Just sell your soul and you can have it all. Yes, it's the exact same lie of knowledge that is sought by those today who call themselves the Illuminati or the Illumined Ones. We have all seen pictures of this Eye of Horus on the back of our dollar bill and in many other places, including the Vatican. Email me and I'll send you a picture. And you know the story of how Nimrod tried to build a tower into the sky that many now believe was a portal to call out more demons that live in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6. Some are saying that the CERN's collider that we've talked about is trying to do that, but into the earth below. Again, do your own homework. It's an interesting study, but let's get back to this paganism that was in Pergamum for centuries until Emperor Constantine moved it all to Constantinople, and then later the Bishop of Rome, I think his name was Phocas, wanted it headquartered in Rome. So St. Peter's Basilica, which is now called the Vatican, was built there. Then in 1929, the fascist prime minister of Italy gave them their own independent city with its own laws and separate constitution. And you know what? There's only two other cities that fall into that same category. Do you know what they are? London and Washington, D.C. Okay, so we don't have to think it unusual for the Babylonian religion of paganism, also called by other names like Mithraism, Universalism, or Catholicism, to move once again, but this time to Jerusalem. After all, we know through the scriptures that Satan wants to sit in the temple and declare himself God, and will do so through the Antichrist. Okay, let's look at just a couple of those scriptures describing this Babylon. And there are two facets. One is the spiritual mystery, described as a harlot, and the other is the place. Revelation 17:8 describes the harlot as being the mother of all harlots. That not only means the worst, but also the beginning. Hence the word Babylon, where it all began. This harlot is dressed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones, carrying a golden cup in her hand. I think it noteworthy right now to mention that in Numbers 5, we see the requirements for a husband if he suspects that his wife is committing adultery. The husband would bring her to the priest, who would mix some dust from the floor into water in a cup and write down the curses that would come after drinking the water if she is guilty. The curse is that her thigh would rot and her belly would swell. The priest, after writing them on the parchment, scrapes it off of the parchment, just scrapes the writing off and into the water. And then the woman drinks it. And it was called the law of jealousy. So that is why the harlot in Revelation has a cup in her hand full of abominations. And we know she eventually will drink it and will be destroyed by the beast himself. This harlot represents the one world religion overseen by the beast until he wants all the worship for himself, and then sits in the holy place declaring himself God, the abomination of desolation. Remember, Jerusalem was called the harlot by God before and more than once. Check out Ezekiel 23, and don't forget about the typology of Gomer in the book of Hosea. So we see that this next third temple, which is not the temple that Jesus will use described in Ezekiel beginning in chapter 40, no. This next soon-to-be-built temple in Jerusalem will be internationalized and used for the one world religion. So actually, when we read the woman's apparel and jewels and even incense, John is actually describing the temple, which confirms it is also in the place named Jerusalem. You need to understand that both temples were the epitome of Jerusalem in its day. And there are many Old Testament scriptures that you can read, as in, I hope you're taking notes, Exodus 26, Exodus 29, Exodus 30, and 1 Kings 10, Deuteronomy 16, and others, where these descriptions match Revelation 17 almost word for word. Whew. So, I pray I am stirring you up to study. Now let me read to you Revelation 18:10-13. It says, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come, and the merchants of the earth will mourn and weep over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore." Now here's the description. It's merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, incense, fragrant oil, and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and bodies and souls of men. This is describing both Jerusalem temples. All the instruments were either gold or silver, Precious stones were in the ephod of the high priest, pearls in the New Jerusalem, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet in the veil of the temple. Citron wood is the very fine wood like shittim that is gold overlaid for the walls of the temple. Ivory, too, from 1 Kings 10, were brought to Jerusalem on ships, and bronze was for the brazen altar. And the marble too. In fact, 1 Chronicles 29:2, Old Testament says this. David says, "For the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones and marble slabs in abundance." Do you see the connection? And then we read in verse 13 of Revelation 18 all about the spices for fragrance, which matches almost word for word in the Old Testament to make the anointing oil and incense for burning. Check out Exodus 30. The wine is for the drink offering, and the oil and the fine flour is for the showbread, and the wheat for the grain offering, the cattle and sheep also for offerings. And Solomon had many horses and chariots for construction and war. Saints, Revelation is describing Jerusalem and its temple that will be again and then destroyed. It's not the United States. Actually, the United States' demise will be coming way before the second half of the tribulation, in my opinion, due to Scripture, as in Jeremiah 30:11. Now, we know from Daniel 9 that the Antichrist will make a covenant with Israel, and probably the UN will go along with it as well. They will also agree to join in the one world religion that makes Jerusalem a harlot, as she was called many times before. The Antichrist, who could be maybe even the Pope, will also, along with the false prophet, who could possibly be Jewish with ancestry from the tribe of Dan. Anyway, we now see with our own eyes the blatant statements that the Pope is making, as we also see his involvement in the political area as well. The Vatican flag has two keys on it, one silver representing political and the other gold representing spiritual. We also have evidence that at least some of the hierarchy of the Vatican worship Lucifer, as evidenced by using his name of Lucifer in some of their masses that you can view on YouTube. And there's a painting of Lucifer on a white horse, still on the wall in an underground room of the Vatican. The Luciferians believe that Jesus is the son of Lucifer. They are wolves in sheep's clothing and are deceiving the people. And Jesus said in Revelation 18:4, "Come out of her, lest you share in her sins and receive the plagues," which, by the way, are coming soon. Honestly, I so love the Catholic people, for I was one for a long time, and I thank God someone told me the truth. Now, how about you? Will you stand for the truth and not be silent? They are worshiping another Jesus, who they think only paid for some of their sins, and that some must be paid for by themselves in purgatory. This is a different Jesus. There is a lot to say on this subject, but you really need to see the evidence for yourself, and it is out there if you want it. But like so many situations, the choice is all yours. But if you are lazy and uncaring, you'll just say, "Oh, she can't be right. This can't be true," and go on your merry way while so many are being deceived. This is very important, and even if you're not sure if you're a Christian, like if you could be an in-name-only Christian, get on your knees right now and recommit your life to Jesus Christ. Let me give you the erotic blessing. You can hear the music. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Jerusalem. Oh, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. They're going to see a lot of havoc before Jesus comes to bring that peace, but it is coming soon. It has to happen. It might as well be our generation that sees it. God bless. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.